The Beat podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only. In this mini-series, we have partnered with Feel Good, human health and performance experts who transform science into practical, real-life solutions. You will hear from experts in psychology, nutrition, mental health, sleep, movement, and more. This podcast is all about you, whether that be on your lunch break, on your commute, or simply when you need to get moving. Take a moment for yourself and learn on the move.
This episode is all about rest. We'll discuss what rest actually is, how different it is to sleep and inactivity, and how we can maximize our daily emotional and physical rest. Joining us in our journey to rest and recovery is Dr. Colin Roberson. Colin has been involved in human performance and sports science his entire professional career. Besides working with professional athletes such as Olympians, Colin has been a key player in advancing the research in chronobiology, looking at the impact of sleep and recovery on human performance. Hi, Colin, and welcome to the podcast. So let's dive straight in. What is your favorite rest technique?
I have probably two go-to options. So I have an active rest technique, which is genuinely active rest, and then a passive rest technique. Active rest for me is literally 10 to 15 minute walk. And it's literally just it doesn't matter where I go. There's no set pace. I like to just be outside, breathing some fresh air. That's my active rest. Passive rest is for sure more and more is music, is switching off complete darkness, closing my eyes, rested position, and music. And I choose music that fits the emotion I want rather than the emotion I feel. So I will typically put things on that are of a soothing, calming nature. So listen to a lot of Ludovico Einaudi, listening to a lot of Vaughan Williams, that kind of thing, to really establish the state I'd like to be in.
I resonate with that. I think music is indeed an underrated rest technique. So you mentioned active and passive rest. Can you please expand on that and let us know which one we should use and when?
Yeah, it's really simple for me. So active rest is all about when I am mentally taxed. So when I feel the brain fog, when I feel like I've had a long, busy work day, either engaging with people, presentations, documents, you know, whatever that is, that's been really taxing up here, top 2 inches, then I active rest. That's when I want to physically engage in the world. I want to move. I want to use a different type of energy and really stimulate the system so that it gives me options later on. I might then go and do some exercise or do something else. So I see it as a transaction. Passive rest for me, which is where I'm going to lie down, is the exact opposite. So when I feel physically taxed, so when I've been physically doing a lot, that might be exercise, it could be a more physical aspect of the job, travel, then that's when I just want to create calm. I want to let the system just settle, recover. And so I create calm. And that's why the choice of music is really important. I select music that will establish the mood, the emotion I want, rather than what reflects how I feel.
I see. But what if you can't differentiate? What if you go home after a long week at work and you have both this physical tiredness, the cognitive one when your mind is tired, but also maybe you're emotionally tired? How to differentiate at the end of a day when you just feel drained?
I understand that tension. You've got to be objective. Have a look at what's taken place over the past 10 hours, 24 hours. What's really happened? That's the need, is to be objective, is to press pause, take stock of what you've experienced, what you've been doing, what you've been through, and then respond accordingly. Because we do, it's really easy to confuse those signals. It's really easy to be mentally and emotionally taxed and then feel physically drained. And in fact, that's a very common symptom of that type of fatigue. And that's like, it's almost an imposter. What you need to do to effectively manage that is upregulate the system, spend some energy. engage, you know, switch this off, switch off the top 2 inches and switch everything else on and move, you know, be physically articulate, get some movement going. And the easiest one, because there's no real tax involved, is just to walk. You know, for the majority of people, just walk, just get walking, be outside. Personally, I don't care about the weather, be outside, walk. And that legitimately creates options later on. More often than not, for me, I can engage in something like that to shrug off that mental, emotional tax. And then I'll go for a walk. And on the way back, I think, you know what? I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to put my running shoes on. I'm going to get back out and go, and I'm going to run and be more active, because it's transactional. It's an exchange period. And so you just got to be objective and say, well, what's made me feel like this? And likewise, if you know you've been under a lot of physical pressure, and that can be travel, it can, you know, it can be because you've been exercising, it might be because of the very nature of your job, it could be time spent with the children, you know, if you know you've really been physically spending yourself, and that's going to be a different toll for each individual, then let the body, adaptation takes place when we stop, let the body recover, build in a little bit of respite, but not too much. People, you can get lost in that 10, 15, 20 minutes.
So if 15 and to 20 minutes is, in a way, is that the magic number?
Yeah, because for me, particularly passive rest, and if it's passive rest, because, you know, it's throughout the day. So if you're just punctuating the day with some real kind of, right, I'm just going to build in a pause, I'm going to have some rest. 15, 20 minutes is ideal, because we don't get lost in it. It doesn't overwhelm us, and we don't become lethargic.
So what's the shortest amount of passive rest that can still have an impact? If I just have 5 minutes, what can I do in those 5 minutes to really maximize that rest?
If it's just 5 minutes, then for me, it's about kind of being present and mindfulness. That to me is the key one. And that can be a great tool, is literally turn away from the things that you focused on, be present, but be aware, listen to the sounds that are around you, have a sense of place. Where are you right then? Kind of assess it. Recognize where you are, think about your breathing, think about how you're thinking. That's a great way to practice objectivity. Think about your thoughts. How are you thinking right now? Zone in, regain control, and then go again.
Okay, so you mentioned being present now in the moment. You mentioned music. Can you give us, in a total of 5 examples of passive rest and active rest? You mentioned 2 or 3 so far.
So passive rest, let's have a look at that then. So mindfulness, being present in the moment, just press and pause, stop, focus on where you're at, breathe, the sounds around you, the smells, where are you, how are you thinking, almost do a self-analysis. But then there's also this kind of sense of being in the moment that is also about visualization. So think of a place you'd like to be. I love this. And anyone who's heard me chat will know that I talk about this a lot. I visualize the Bodleian Library at Oxford. That's my go-to happy place. I think about the smells, mm-hmm. Think about the creek. Just as you get to the top of the stairs and you walk towards the middle of Duke Humphreys and know the way the floorboards are, the light that comes through the window. So visualization, but whatever your place is to go to. So great. Another passive rest is that literally, and you can do this on the go, it's a great way to unwind, it's not a distraction. I was wrongfully going to call it a distraction. Put some music on, but select music for the mood that you'd like to achieve, not for how you feel, because that won't change anything. It will only amplify it. And so music can be a great one. And I like extended periods when it comes to getting lost in that. So a good 15 to 20 minutes, be lost in the music. Allow it to change your status. A fourth one is reading. For sure, people don't do it enough. The lost art of reading, and pages are far more than flicking. So pick up a book, lose yourself in there for a moment. You know, this is, again, just and non-taxing, purely indulgent. This can be a passive rest. And then one of the simplest things in the world is to have an extended break where you press pause, maybe take yourself a drink of water and just change position. You might have been sat up at the desk, lie down, stand up, you know, and that borders into active rest. Active rest then can be anything that you like. It's where you're going to stimulate the system in a different way, but not tax the system. So you can go for a walk. It might be that you just do some light stretching where you are there and then. It could be that, depending on your level of fitness, that you go for a brisk walk into a slow jog. You might go and swim. You might do some Tai Chi. You might do some yoga, Pilates. These are things that are all about regeneration of the system and not necessarily taxing the system. And you'll know yourself whether or not the intensity and the level you're about to engage in is taxing or restorative, and make it restorative.
I really like that. It's also just playing to see what works for you. And I really like how you said that, put music that's about the state that you want to achieve, not how you're feeling right now. Do things to change the state you're in. And I would also add, maybe let yourself get bored. Just let yourself not do anything, and then see what arises in that context.
Well, yeah, because the definition of modernity is distraction.
Yeah.
So switch everything off. Just be you for a minute. Be bored. Yeah, have nothing to do.
When was the last time you've done that? When was the last time you've been bored? I feel like now we're all surrounded by technology, distractions, work, family, friends from all directions. When was the last time you've been bored, Colin?
But I mean, people will probably be surprised. People will be surprised. I'd say the last time I genuinely, like, consciously did nothing was Tuesday night, Tuesday evening. In the study in which I'm speaking to you now, I literally just, I mean, this is my happy place. I'm surrounded by books and music and everything I want. And I literally just turn the lights off and I lay on the floor, put a cushion behind my head, and I just proper zoned into the darkness. And actually, I broke my own rule because I was there for a good 30 minutes and I just zoned into the darkness. And I didn't want to know anything. I didn't want to learn anything. I didn't want to hear anything.
Didn't want to do anything. I definitely resonate. That sometimes is the best and maybe under-discussed way to actually rest and recover. Just let your body do what it needs to do. Don't try to meditate, to control, to do something. Just allow yourself to be.
That's right. Just be. We're at a place in civilization where we have to give ourselves permission to do nothing. You know,
permission to do nothing. I love that. Yeah. But now let's imagine that I'm quite tired and I know I'm going to have a few very busy months ahead. And I already have some days when I go home and I'm good at setting boundaries, taking time to rest, to do nothing. But it seems like regardless of what I'm doing, that fatigue is going up. How can I do to maximize rest and stay energized when I feel like, because of the demands of work, maybe your family now, that fatigue is just going higher and higher?
That's more common than I think people think. And my take on that is maybe a little bit different than what you'd expect, because I approach that in the same way as someone who needs to train for a marathon. Is in that approach is that it's probably you need to do more. And the fatigue that is settling in is based on a lack of readiness to deal with what it is that you're coping with. And that can be overwhelming in itself. So in those instances, and this is where you really do need to prioritize yourself, is get active and really attach your value to what it is you need to do to be active. Because it's through that behavior, you increase your physical and psychological resilience through that investment in self.
Can you expand a bit on that lack of readiness? What do you mean by that?
Because what's happening is typically we know a bit cognitively, so we know a busy period is coming up, and so there's that brace for impact sense of brace for impact, and through that we can actually start to make shifts from sympathetic to parasympathetic nervous systems, and you know, there can be this like transfer of states, and we can go from high adrenaline to low, but we're not really regulating it and controlling it. There's this sense of what's on the horizon.
So how does that feel into the body? How do we recognize that?
Fatigue. Often that manifests as fatigue and tiredness. It's almost this lethargy, this sense of, and this is where people find it hard to engage in an exercise behavior, because they go, I feel so tired already. Surely the last thing I need to do is do more. But actually, that's what you need to do. You can't create energy. You can only exchange it. And so the thing to do is to upregulate the system and do it almost on a daily basis, and start to spend energy to create energy, and start to ready yourself, and start to spend that nervous energy. And if you're tired and unable to cope with what it is you need to do, and this is why I use the marathon analogy, then what you need to do is up your energy capacity. And the way we increase our energy capacity is to create energy. Remember, batteries don't create energy, they store energy. And so think of yourself in that way. You need to store more energy, and you're going to do that by creating it. You need to upregulate the system. You are your own turbine. So get moving. And it's the hardest part is the first part. It's overcoming the self and going, I feel really tired. How can this make sense? And it's being persistent in the first few endeavors, one or two, and then you'll click and you'll start to feel differently. And when we feel differently, then we can really embrace it and buy into it. But the hard part is the switch, for sure.
It's that switch and starting with building that discipline to, at the start, I guess you have to force yourself to go and move and change your state, even though that may be the very last thing you feel like doing.
Absolutely. And people typically fail because they have too high an expectation of self. Right, I need to move. I'm going to run 5K, and they don't do it, or it's horrible and it's ugly and it feels terrible. So they go, that didn't work. So no, don't do that. To get started, just go and walk and turn that walk into a power walk. Make it so that when you're walking back, it's really, really brisk. And that will work wonders. And build from there, tiny little bits, just build it up. And that's the key to it, is to make it measurable, make it achievable, build on success and have realistic expectations. It doesn't matter whether you run today or tomorrow. If running is the plan, let's aim towards running in 3 months' time. But today we're going to move, and we're going to move quicker than we'd normally move. That's all we need to do.
Yeah, so to be realistic and to make the decision every day to change that state, every to start day. Moving, to do something without putting that extra pressure on ourselves of trying to achieve something that's not very realistic. So we talked a little bit about quick tips for passive rest, active rest, what we can do on the long term if fatigue comes up. But what about if we have our lunch break, as we all may have a lunch break? What's the formula to get that right, to really maximize our rest and recovery during that short interval?
There's two sides to this, but I'm going to go with the obvious one first, because this has become a lost art. Have your lunch at lunch break, and then focus on the quality of the nutrition. You know, so many people are so busy. Lives are so busy. People don't think of the lunch break anymore. They think of the hour or the 30 minutes they have at lunch, and they want to cram 20 things into it. You know, a phone call, a WhatsApp video message, go and do some yoga, and then eat something.
And then eat on the go.
Yeah. So for me, don't do that. Focus first of all. The first strategy is focus on the lunch and go for good nutrition. That might need some preparation, because the body craves nutrition, not calories, believe it or not. So start to think of the quality of what you eat. And if we're trying to change how we think, then we need to think of those nutritional components that have an impact on how we think. And the key one, and an area I work a lot at, is looking at the omega-3 essential fatty acids, recognizing that 60% of the brain is fat, and 20% of that fat is derived from DHA, which is one of the marine-based omega-3s. You are what you think. We always say you are what you eat, but you have to think right to eat right. So you are what you think. And so think about your lunch. What's the nutrition that you're going to derive from your lunch? And you know what? Do some passive rest at the same time and do some mindfulness. Just be immersed. Don't look at the screen and write an email whilst you're eating a sandwich. Think about what you're eating. Be there. Taste it, experience it, savor it, enjoy it. Feed your body, because your body needs nutrition. So to me, that's the priority. That's the first and foremost. But I know people will want to go, no, lunchtime's when I go and do yoga. So if you're going to do that, then first of all, make sure you have sufficient time. And secondly, okay, engage in the yoga. I would say if you've got an hour for lunch, your yoga should be no more than 30 minutes, or Pilates, or your run, or whatever your exercise thing is. You want to have it so that when you return, you can effectively shower, get yourself set, and still have at least 15 minutes for you to take that nutrition on board. Lunch is about having lunch. Nutrition, good nutrition, is the key to health. And health is all about how you fortify that resilience physically, biologically, physiologically, and psychologically.
Thank you. Yeah, there's so many good practical tips here. But now, since rest is such a big topic and we don't have much time, What about we jump into a series of very quick fire questions? So I ask a question about rest and recovery and you answer in 60 seconds or less. Okay. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay, first, when it comes to sleep, what is more important, quality or quantity?
Ooh, both, but I'm going to say quality.
Why?
Definitely quality, because the quality of the sleep is typically determined by how many back-to-back cycles that you have, which in itself leads to quantity, but the quality of it. And I would encourage people to try and aim their sleep within 2200 hours and 0200 hours, so 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. They're the golden hours. Your body works to an internal biological rhythm. It wants to replenish, repair, commit things to memory. So the quality, being having good sleep in that time, that's a good survival tactic.
Question two, yoga or Pilates?
Oh, depends what you want. You know what though, they're both great, so I don't want to offend anyone, but if you force me to pick only one, yoga.
Is cardio or strength better for active rest?
Oh, cardio. For active rest, for sure, strength's really important. And your physical independence as you age is directly correlated to your quality of life. But cardio, you need to breathe. The more efficient that system is, the better. And when it comes to rest, oxidizing the system is essential. So for sure, cardio.
Is 30 minutes of activity enough?
Absolutely. It's the best 2%. So 30 minutes is 2% of your day. It's the best 2% you can ever invest in yourself. Just do it every day.
So what's the number one mistake you have seen people make with their rest?
The number one mistake that people make with their rest is that they compromise it. They don't plan it in daily. There's no schedule for it. They get it when they can. They're typically exhausted, collapse into bed, have rubbish sleep, get back up and try and do it all again. Be proactive about your rest. Rest every day, schedule it into your working day and prioritize it at the end of the day.
And lastly, if there was only one thing, one message you'd like our audience to hear today, what would that be?
An investment in yourself is an investment in everyone you engage with in the world. You are the best version of you when you make sure that you are okay. So your nutrition, your rest, your physical engagement are all key components of who you need to be for everyone else. As such, treat them accordingly.
Well, thank you, Colin, for all these amazing insights today. And I can't wait to have you here back at another podcast.
Thank you very much. Always love chatting.
And thank you all for listening. I hope you managed to gain at least one practical tip today. If you did, please share what you discovered and the link to the podcast with your colleagues. And remember, change won't happen unless you make it happen.
To keep up to date with future episodes of the Beat Podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk.